happy election day, everybody. Thanks all the texters, by the way, in the WTMJ talk to text line, sending their number, their voting number, or how long the lines are. It's sort of inconsistent. Some had no lines. Some had half-hour waits, including my friend here, Jeremy Janine from Urban Milwaukee, joins me in studio. He always joins me on Tuesdays. You had like a half-hour wait, huh?
Well, this is interesting, and this is what I want to talk about. I had no wait.
Oh, no
My wife voted an hour before me, and she had a half-hour wait.
That's what it was.
And the really interesting thing is there's a chief inspector, someone who runs a polling site on Milwaukee's west side. Since 2022, he's tabulated hour-by-hour voter totals.
Wow.
And they paint a really interesting picture of, if I don't want to wait in line, here's when you should go. And maybe this will help you today. Maybe this will help you plan in the future.
All right, let's hear the magic.
Yeah, the magic is if you want to go when it's slowest, 2 to 4 p.m.
Makes sense.
That's pretty logical. Yeah. Everyone's at work. But if you want to go when it's busiest, this is a little bit surprising. You don't probably want to go when it's busiest, but plan around this. That first hour, 7 to 8 a.m., really busy, and then it kind of trends downward the whole day, and then 5 to about 7 p.m., but then that last hour, when you think everyone's making their last ditch rush to get there, no, it starts tailing back off again. So don't go right at the start. Do consider going right at the end, but if you can, go in the afternoon.
Do some people consciously want to go when it's busy? You can't have political conversations, so you're just chatting up with your neighbors?
Maybe it's 9 a.m. and you want to listen to the Political Power Hour while you stand in line. I don't know. Listen to a nice podcast.
Did you watch the early voters from New Hampshire last night, the six people?
I saw your tweet about it.
Yeah.
I had a good laugh.
It's interesting because according to another radio person in town, last time it was like universal for Biden, and now this one, even though there was 4 registered Republicans and 2 registered Democrats, it was split 3-3. Not that 6 people makes any sort of a trend. I just thought it was interesting to see how it shook out, which is certainly emblematic of where this election might be.
Yeah, I mean, if you take anything away from anything I say today, it's you don't know what's going to happen tonight. Stay tuned. Don't rush to try and figure out what happened at 8:01 p.m. There's a lot of counting to go on.
So I know you are going to be at Central Counts. For the folks who are listening, because we have listeners all over the place now, tell people what that is and sort of what's going on. And again, it's not nefarious. This is how we, because of the law, have to count our votes in Milwaukee. There's nothing illegal about it. It's just the way, there's no ballot dumps. It's just the way it happens.
Yep. And there's 42 municipalities in Wisconsin that have opted into this provision. I don't know if it's in state law explicitly, but a state authorized option to do what is called a central count. And the idea there is instead of sending all the absentee ballots, sorting them in Milwaukee's case, out the 300 some wards to 180 polling places, and then having all these concerns about observers at all those places, checking all that, what can go wrong, they count them all in one spot. So if you're in Ward 240, like I am in Milwaukee, there are absentee ballots for Ward 240 being counted at the Barrett Center right now, and then the in-person results are being tabulated at the polling place.
What were the numbers for the votes that have those votes that were either mailed in or early voted? What's the number of?
Yeah, this is a very key thing. The city is totally, in all cities that are doing this, are totally transparent about how many they have, and there's also a cap that they can receive because it's how many absentee ballots they issued. Milwaukee, as of yesterday morning, had received back 105,000 absentee ballots. That includes 67,000 that were in-person early voting, so the rest are by mail, by Dropbox. And then it can go up to, and it certainly won't, there won't be 100% response rate, but it can get up to 113,000. That's how many absentee ballots they issued. So there's about, if I can do math on the radio, 8,000 votes more that could have arrived either yesterday or today by mail or by Dropbox.
At the end of the day, turnout, where do you think it's going to be?
I think it's going to be high. I think we'll be short of 2020, and obviously we will be in terms of early voting.
Yes.
But I'm concerned about
Wisconsin. That was a pandemic.
Yeah. The rain in Wisconsin, I do think, will have an impact. I don't think anyone will admit I didn't vote because of the rain, but I think it's going to be a thing.
That's just mind-boggling to me. It's rain, people. I mean, we can all have excuses to not do things, but when you're talking about rain, and by the way, it's like 60-some degrees out. It's not like it's cold and rainy. It's pretty. I was out without a coat on this morning. Very comfortable out there. No excuses. Get out and vote. Jeremy Janine is going to stick around for 2 more segments. Lots more to talk about on the local side, state side of politics in Wisconsin. Coming up at the end of the hour, Political Power Hour, Tuesday edition, Kristen Bride from Spanning the State will join me for a sort of wrap-up conversation before we start talking about the results. Tonight she'll join John and the other folks doing the lead-in to my show. Urban Milwaukee's Jeremy Janine joining us on the Tuesday edition as we all sort of sit here and wait. I'll be back in tonight at 11 o'clock. We have great election coverage starting at 6 with all the cast of characters at WTMJ, and we'll bring over some of our truth colleagues as well. 11 to 5 for me, I'll be joined by James Wigerson in the studio and Joseph Pecky and Bill McCosh will try to join us on the phone and other guest contributors that you'd normally hear. I want to get back to Central Con because I want to explain it to people. We sort of laid out some of the stuff, but there's more details about this that matter to people, especially when we're talking about races that could be very close.
Yes. Central Con, we kind of talked about what it is, but
yeah,
only a little bit about the why. I'll talk a little bit more about that and then the how it works. And so the why again, Madison, the other big liberal-leaning city in the state, they send, and many other cities do this, send all their absentee ballots out to each polling place.
Right.
That obviously that you need more observers than if you're really invested in watching that process. And then you need more poll workers. And there's more issues that can crop up geographically spread across your city. Milwaukee opts to do it what is supposed to be more efficient and more secure, efficient in terms of staffing, not in terms of time, we'll discuss in a moment. They do it all at one place. That place is the Baird Center. It used to be the Wisconsin Center, the Frontier Airlines, right. Midwest Airlines Center. They have the exhibition hall. Half of it's rented. There are poll workers working in tandem. There are observers. There are space for up to 3,000 people in this room. There's 300 poll workers there. They work in shifts. They started at 8 a.m. And what they're doing is sorting absentee ballots. So they're sorting envelopes. They're checking for witness signatures. They're opening the ballots. They're flattening. And these are steps that, but we're not talking about counting ballots at this point. We're just talking about sorting mail. There was bipartisan push that died in the state Senate in February. Wisconsin is one of two states that does not allow any of the sorting to happen before Election Day. I think we can all agree if they were able to flatten everything out before Election Day, this could go faster.
You think it'll change at some point? I mean, to be the last holdouts in sort of a exercise of futility doesn't make any sense. Look at Florida, how they revamped after 2000. It's ridiculous. They're so fast now.
Yeah, there's no reason you would want this to take longer.
Even Ron Johnson supports this effort, who last time I checked is a pretty conservative senator.
Yeah, I don't understand why this was allowed to just linger on. I understand how it... You know, there wasn't a crisis, so there was no action originally.
Right.
Then in 2020, there wasn't what is technically a crisis, but there was concern that this nefarious thing was happening. And we talked about before, we know how many ballots there are. We know where they are. Green Bay, Milwaukee, I think even like Greenfield, Wauwatosa, they're all Central Cal communities. You can kind of estimate, okay, these are liberal-leaning communities. Their in-person results show 60% for, and this, I'm going back to 2020 as a reference, 60% for Joe Biden. We'd expect 80% for Joe Biden. So that means that these absentee ballots, we know how many there are. They're probably incredibly Democratic leaning, or conversely, they're incredibly conservative leaning. So what's happening right now across the street from Radio City here at the Baird Center and in 41 other communities in Wisconsin, they're opening envelopes, they're flattening envelopes, they're sorting. They will then start confirming, looking for any issues on the ballot themselves, mm-hmm. yep. Undervoting, overvoting, those kind of things. Does a ballot need to be reconstructed? Observers will watch that same process that takes place at a polling place. Eventually, they will get to, there's 13 of these machines in Milwaukee. Other communities use their own machines, but they're machines that have been publicly tested. The ballots are fed into these machines in a huge stack. And what's happening is it's not just reading it, but it's taking an image of every single ballot. It's a high-speed
scanner.
It's
an amazing system.
Yeah, these machines cost $200,000 a piece. They read these ballots. And they store all that information. The machines I confirmed with in Milwaukee, executive director of the Milwaukee Election Commission, Polina Gutierrez yesterday. No one working can see the total results. It's locked out in advance.
Yep.
And a bipartisan Milwaukee Election Commission does that.
They have no idea what impact those ballots they're handling are going to have on the race.
Yep. They just see that we loaded in Ward 240, 300 ballots, and then, okay, you have till 8 p.m. to get the ballot. So a couple more came in. They get those. They put them in. They go in sealed bags. They're there. The process is open. There's hundreds of observers watching this, and they're there already right now. We have a reporter there on our team, and we'll be covering this throughout the day at our Milwaukee, and lots of other outlets will be as well. It's all happening in public. And then the challenge comes 8 p.m. Okay, no more new ballots can come. City reports out that final number. True across the state. Then you start having to load everything through one last time. You're doing double checks. Then you have to, and I talked about before, they're scanning all these ballots. Well, they have to do this export process to USB thumb drives. That takes hours, and they have to do it on 13 machines. Polina Gutierrez told me yesterday it would take somewhere upwards of 2 to 3 hours just to run that process tonight. So there'll be a point tonight where they're done processing. They have no idea how much, what the results are, but then they need to export them and drive them to the county.
Give me a ballpark time. What do you think?
I'm betting 3 a.m.
3 a.m.?
And 3 a.m., important what time I'm giving you, that is the time that the county will have the results on its website.
All right. Unless it's a big margin either way, that will be sort of the decider, maybe.
Yeah, and this is the key thing. This is where the conspiracy comes in. All those ballots get reported at once. 300 wards, yeah. 13 machines, and this is Wauwatosa, all these communities, big release.
That's why I'm belaboring the point, or at least having you belabor it, because people need to hear that, because this is the reality for Milwaukee when we have a central count. All right, one more, a quick break here, and then we're going to talk about a friend of ours, a sad story, after the break here on 620 WTMJ. Jeremy Janine joining me in studio here in the Political Power Hour. Just a mention of a friend of yours, one of our aldermen, Jonathan Brostoff. Died yesterday, 41 years old, father of three, I think,
four
young children, tremendous public servant, and he's a friend of yours. So I wanted to give you a couple minutes just to talk about him.
Yeah, Jonathan is one of my oldest friends in Milwaukee. I've lived here almost 20 years now, and I've known Jonathan at least 15 of those years. He was, well before he was in elected office, was just committed to public service. He was this guy that was at... Early in Facebook, he was the guy that was connected to everyone. And in the article I wrote about him yesterday, I said he described Malcolm Gladwell's idea of a connector, someone that just is the glue between all these people.
I used to see him at events all over the place.
Yeah, and you look at all these people who are now in positions of power, and Jonathan did not put these people there, but he was there at even before the ground floor with these people. Cavalier Johnson, David Crowley, Mandela Barnes, Chris Larson. They're all good friends, have been friends before they were in elected office. Jonathan died of an apparent suicide yesterday. Yeah. And to call it tragic would be an understatement. If you are struggling with mental illness, talk to someone. Jonathan had in 2019 written an article, an op-ed for us in the Wisconsin State Journal, talking about his battles as a teenager with depression. He was diagnosed as bipolar. I had, just because his personality was so bubbly, he was so tenacious, I had forgotten about that until yesterday. And it was very tragic to read him discussing how if he had a gun as a teenager, this tragic thing might happen, and then to learn that's unfortunately what appears to have happened yesterday. He leaves behind his wife, Diana, four kids, a brother, and his two parents in Milwaukee.
Yeah, and thanks for honoring him in that way. He was an interesting guy. I met him a bunch of times. Remember the Afro days when he was growing the Afro out as a sort of a protest, right?
Yeah, he was trying to get a sign language interpretation bill. Before he was an alderman in 2022, he was a state representative representing Milwaukee's East Side and Bayview from 2015 to 2022. He struggled to get this bill passed, so he made a pledge to the sign language community, I won't cut my hair until then. Jonathan had what he would describe as a Jufro. He was a proud Jewish man.
It was not a good look for him. I think even he would admit that.
But it worked. He got the bill passed in 2019. It was his signature, highly visible accomplishment at the state level. In the city of Milwaukee, he did a lot of things involving safe streets, economic development. He was very invested in that. He was chair of the zoning committee.
Also have to mention that Alderman Terry Witkowski, who I knew very well from my work as a mayor, passed away as well. He served the common council for 16 years, and he's high level. He got a lot done. It was the Garden District, I think they called his area there.
Terry branded the area. Terry represented the area around the airport until 2019 on the common council. He died yesterday also at the age of 80 from natural causes.
Yeah.
He retired in 2019, was succeeded by his aide, Scott Spiker, but he branded the area the Garden District.
Yeah.
And now all the other council members are trying to come up with names for the district because right. It was such a good brand.
Yes. So you'll try to check in tonight from Central County if you can?
Absolutely. I'll be there all night and unfortunately probably all morning.
Well, the good news, I'm here till 5, so we have plenty of time to have that phone conversation. Jeremy Janine, Urban Milwaukee, where can they find your great work?
UrbanMilwaukee.com.